Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to start this sermon with a strange question. What motivated you to come to church today? What I mean is, why did you come to this particular church? Now, I know at least one reason why I'm here. That's probably fairly obvious. But there are a lot of ways you could answer that question, and quite frankly, none of them would probably or necessarily be wrong. I think I can speak for all of us when I say we're all here this morning to because we want love and want to follow Jesus more closely. But maybe you're here at this particular place because you were raised Lutheran, or because this has always been your church. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would guess that kind of sums up most of our motivation for being here this morning. But if you've ever moved into a town, another town, you may have had this experience. You drive around town, and you see church signs and visitors to come. And how do you choose? Which one do you go to? Janet and I were in Lahaina on the island of Maui. Oh, I guess the secret's out. Sorry about that. Just trying to give people a little bit of envy. So if you are envious, then that's your problem because that's your sin. So, but Janet and I were there in that beautiful, wonderful place with rainbows and beautiful sunrises and sunsets. And a couple of Sundays ago, we went to church with a couple of other people who were skipping town, Karen and Don Southard. And they invited us, actually, to come to be with them for a while. So they were in church with us. It was a church that they'd been to before when they've been in Hawaii. And so we were at least certain that we would know at least a couple of people there. But it was still kind of strange. It was still kind of strange, first of all, finding the other church, and then going into church because we didn't know exactly how they were going to do their thing or what kind of greeting we might receive. And that's the big point. If you know someone in a church, someone you care about, someone you know cares about you, it makes things a little more comfortable, doesn't it? It doesn't seem quite so strange, and it'll probably be easier for you to let your defenses down a bit, and maybe, just maybe, you'll be more open to returning to that church. So back to my opening question, what motivated you to come to church today? I think the beginning of the answer to that is the people. You're here because of the people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning, we're observing LWML. I've been trying to not stumble with those letters because I get my mouth all tied up. But LWML Sunday, and LWML stands for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. The LWML is an auxiliary of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and has... its next year is actually celebrating its 80th anniversary of its formation. And it has members throughout North America. And as the name suggests, this group of missionary-minded women sponsor mission efforts that touch people around the world. And quite frankly, not just around the world, but sometimes in our own backyard. When you came in this morning, I think you probably received one of these without the little sticky note on it. Probably received one of those. If you, I'm not asking you to bring it out now, but number 26, one of our local congregations here in the Magic Valley received a grant for $100,000 from the national LWML to expand their church. Friendship Celebration received the grant because they're planting a church in Kuna. They've actually purchased some land already. They formed, I don't know, just a couple of years ago, and they're beginning to grow and they're looking to build. So the LWML is on the front line trying to help other people bring Christ to the world, to their communities. And they do that in a really strange way. They do that with pocket change. They do that with what they call mites, small offerings that together help more and more people learn the good news of Jesus. And in fact, this morning we're going to receive a mite offering. Barb, are you there somewhere? Yeah, I don't know. In the past, we've handed the boxes out to folks. Did we do that this morning? Probably not, huh?
No, we're going to have another exit today.
Okay, so you're welcome to drop some change in the big mite box. They'll take dollar bills too, or 20s or 100s. They're even going to take Krugerrands this year. So if you have any of those spare ones hanging around, you can drop those in as well. But they're mites. The mites, the change and the offerings congregations give just over and above and beyond the regular offerings to their church, these go to help fund these mission opportunities. With the intent, of course, that more and more people will learn the good news of Jesus. On this LWML Sunday, we're focusing on that epistle reading we heard earlier. And in particular, this portion of that reading. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now, I'm sure you've heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. And the logo for LWML Sunday this year tries to capture that. Our hearts in His hand. Think about that. Think about holding a real heart in your hands. That's what a transplant surgeon does. He takes out a diseased heart with his hand and puts in a new one and hopefully connects up all the pieces where they need to go. And that's what God has done for you and me. On that logo, you see a cross and a drop of water. Christ dying to give forgiveness of your sins and the water of your baptism, where you were given a new heart, a pure heart, with all of the gifts that come from the faith God gave you in your baptism. That's what God promised through the prophet Ezekiel in our first reading this morning. I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. In baptism, God keeps that promise. But unlike your physical transplant that might last a few years, the new heart God gives lives forever. Now that's not just theological church talk. God really and truly gave you and me a transplant. Because our natural and sinful hearts are constantly turned towards sin and selfishness. Every one of us has thoughts and feelings and ideas and urges that are sinful. I know my heart all too well. And sometimes the things that flow out of my heart not only sadden me, but sometimes shock me and certainly make me feel ashamed. And I'm sure that there are things deep down in your heart that make you ashamed and, like me, are very glad that others don't know them. That's because we are born with sinful, dying, broken hearts because of original sin. Those broken hearts cause us to commit actual sins. And sooner or later, what's deep down is going to be known. The writer to the Hebrews says, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And even though we're forgiven, for which we can only say thank you, Jesus, right? This sin which makes us ashamed, this sin which hurts those we love, will continue to plague us until the day we die. Only then, when we're dead, will we stop sinning. But here's the wonderful mystery of baptism. Baptism brings us the forgiveness of Jesus Christ here and now, and gives us grace to live new and holy lives here and now as well. St. Paul says, we were buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And St. Peter describes it as a new birth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And even more mysteriously, baptism is a daily death and rebirth. Each and every day, God's forgiveness is yours so that you can have courage, courage to face that day. We have a living hope, a hope that's reborn each day because we have God's promise of forgiveness and love. Now, in that Bible verse I said was our focus a few minutes ago, Peter wrote, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. But we need to be clear here about something. We need to remember, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, while it sounds like you've made yourselves pure by keeping God's commandment, that's not what Peter means. Peter is simply talking about the faith, the new heart, the new birth, that free gift which God gives to make you his child. Being pure before God is not our doing. It's all grace. And Paul makes that clear when he says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. We have to keep that focus. So I think we could paraphrase 1 Peter 1:22 this way. Now that the cross of Jesus has come into your hearts through baptism, love one another intentionally and sincerely. That logo speaks to just this thing. Christ comes through baptism into your heart, into my heart, into each of our hearts, and each new purified heart is surrounded by a bigger heart. That bigger heart is the church, a big-hearted place where all of our hearts are together in the hand of God. I began this morning asking what motivates you to come to this church. And the beginning of the answer is, I believe, the people, you and me and all of us together. At the beginning of this whole COVID mess, one of the things we had to learn to do very quickly was to get our message out to people who were alone, who were sheltering in their homes. But during that time, during this past couple of years, we've also learned that while we can hear the word of God over the internet, being together in person with one another, receiving God's blessings of word and sacrament together, is the truest reason we come together. You know, there's nothing like being together as God gives us his word, a word of new birth and life and love in Christ. We receive this transforming word together as we hear it spoken and sung, and as we receive it physically in baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are various reasons we come to church, but more than anything, we come to worship because here, all of our hearts are together. Not only together with one another, but most importantly, together with one another in God's hand. And sometimes, particularly by people who just really don't get it, the church is seen as really no different than any other group or association, no different than groups like the Kiwanis or Rotary or American Legion or the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Some here may belong to those groups, those kind of groups, or maybe a country club or a fitness club or something like that, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with those kind of groups. But they're not like God's group. God's group, his people, God's church is uniquely special. It's here where the people with whom we will fellowship for eternity come together. And you hear a singular message. We gather here for a specific purpose, to hear and to grow in God's word and receive forgiveness in Holy Communion. You don't get that anywhere else. It doesn't come from the Kiwanis or the Rotary or any other group. Only God's church. That makes us different from any other organization. We come here to meet with our God, to make us a big-hearted fellowship filled with his love. And that's how we love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And I think that's really the compelling reason we come to church. But that love that God gives to us, that love in which we grow, that love which binds us together, isn't to simply stay in this place. This isn't just a little holy huddle. He wants us to go out there and love them as well. Love those outside the church. See, Jesus isn't content to hold us only in his hand. He reaches his hand out to others. When a leper met Jesus and begged him to be healed, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And when Jairus' daughter died, Jesus gave her new life when he took her by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, arise." And when Peter began to sink, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. And Jesus took little children into his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus' love compelled and compels him to reach out to all who are in need. And today, now, he reaches out his hand through you and me to people who don't yet know his life and love, to people who don't know what it's like to have a new heart, people who have spiritually diseased hearts and desperately need the new heart only Jesus can give, and they don't even know it. As we leave this place, we can take Jesus into those civic organizations or veterans groups or other clubs that we may be involved with, because there you're going to meet other people, people who, like you, have struggles and hurts and hopes and joys, but who don't have Jesus. And God has put you in those places to share his heart with them. That's the purpose of the group that we're recognizing this morning. In the LWML pledge, we read, "In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have. And in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest fields, we pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for him, our feet to go on his errands, our voice to sing his praises, our lips to proclaim his redeeming love, our silver and our gold to extend his kingdom, and our will to do his will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with him." You know, as you read that, it's a beautiful but certainly challenging statement, isn't it? And for almost 80 years, this group of mission-minded women have embodied that call to serve Jesus, a call that is really for all of us. And it's very much in line with what Martin Luther himself had to say about a pure heart. Luther said, "Then what is a pure heart? What is meant by a pure heart is this: one that is watching and pondering what God says and replacing its ideas with the Word of God. This alone is pure before God. Yes, purity itself, which purifies everything that it includes and touches. Therefore, though a common laborer, a shoemaker, or a blacksmith may be dirty and sooty or may smell because he's covered with dirt and pitch," Luther is pretty earthy, "still, he may sit at home and think, My God has made me who I am. He's given me my house, spouse, and child, and has commanded me to love them and to support them with my work. Luther says, note that he is pondering the word of God in his heart. Pondering and measuring your heart with God's words of love and mercy. That's what we're called to do and to be. As we do that more and more, it just becomes part of what we do. So when we're wherever we are, we're sharing that love of God in ways spoken and many ways, many times not spoken. But especially so much so that it echoes our prayer of thanks to the one who created us and saved us from sin and death. Our hearts, baptized and transformed in his hand, being made into a big-hearted church that extends God's hand of love to everyone. And not just on LWML Sunday, but every day God gives us before he takes us to be with him in eternity. Amen.